When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. Well, most of it's great. Some of it's a little sad. There were a lot of injuries in the NFL that we have to discuss, unfortunately. But Lakers won on an epic buzzer beater, so we'll talk about some basketball. Celtics won as well. And, of course, fantasy football. And Nikki Snacks Kreider was a little hot on the books this weekend. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, cause they're free. Sode 275 coming stankier than Sode 274. And I'm flanked on my right by offensive and defensive coordinators Nikki Snacks Kreider and Alex Toss Me the Rock Tassopoulos. Both rocking t-shirt jerseys. Nick, you got your favorite wide receiver on, DeAndre Hopkins. You and I are cut from the same cloth while we're talking about shirts. We both love t-shirt jerseys. Toss, you like him as well. Your hoodie games, I saw it this past weekend. Someone else had a Cam Newton hoodie, like your Garoppolo hoodie. Right now, you got your Dallas Stars. Congrats, man. Stanley Cup and the lead in the series.
We're in the Cup. We're up 1-0. A nice 4-1 game on the back of our goaltender, Dobby.
Who's on contract?
Dobby is a free elf.
Khudobin is our goaltender, Nick. And I don't know if you got a chance to watch the game, or if you didn't, no big deal.
The highlights.
No big deal, but his helmet has Dobby the House Elf on it. Which
is what we like at the Charity Stripe.
Yeah.
We should get him on.
Any sort of Harry Potter reference is awesome.
We should get the voice actor of Dobby on.
That would be cool. I also, that was saying,
it wouldn't be the first voice actor we've had on.
Wouldn't be the first voice actor. I appreciate you being honest with everyone out there saying that you only watch the highlights. That's what we really love on the Charity Stripe. Which is, it's nice of you, because we are the Abraham Lincoln of podcasts. But it was very funny. We went to Nick's, and one of our roommates who has been on the show before, who knows nothing about sports,
sat down and was like, why? Because we were watching a baseball game, the fight, and we were watching Eastern Conference Finals. And he's like, why isn't the Stanley Cup on? This is the only game I care about. And I thought that was pretty hilarious because he could not name a single – I don't even know if he knew what teams were in.
Yeah.
Gun to his head.
Probably not.
Gun to his head, brains on the floor.
Tampa Bay Lightning and the Dallas Stars, and the Stars are up 1-0 in the series.
And you love to see that. And if you bet on the Stars spread, you would have won some money yesterday. And where's the best place on planet Earth to bet any kind of game?
Well, besides Caesar Palace.
The best place and the only place. Nick, this is the only place where you can put in a bet in the world.
Nick, and that's it. Your place.
That's it. BetOnline.ag. Football is back, which we're all very excited about. Nick, if you were a betting man and you had put money down on, say, DeAndre Hopkins and the Arizona Cardinals, they were -7. We informed the listeners that they should take that bet and take -7 against who did they play?
Washington.
Who cares? Who cares?
Trick question. They didn't even have a team.
It didn't even matter. Yeah. It didn't even matter. But if you had taken the Arizona Cardinals -7 on BetOnline.ag, you would have won big. If you didn't, no big deal. Next weekend, there's plenty of NFL games to bet on, so head to betonline.ag and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses that they have. Again, that's betonline.ag, and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Mm-hmm.
We threw out on our Instagram,
yeah,
better late than never, as they always say, right before the game started on NFL Sunday.
It was a buzzer beater.
It was a buzzer beater.
I know people that took the parlay, though. People said thank you.
And it's still alive.
It's still alive.
It's still alive. We've hit on three. We pushed
four.
On.
We've hit on, oh, we.
Oh, no, no, no. We hit because the under that we had was
49.5.
And Nick cucked
no,
me.
51.5.
It was 51.5?
It was 51.5, yeah. And that the Texans.
I had it at 49. Just so everyone knows what happened the other day. And I guess it was a miscommunication. I'll give my boy the benefit of the doubt because we're great friends. And
you should have just said, put the money down for me.
I thought the phrase, I'm in. What,
BetOnline is accessible to you too. You know that, right?
I know, but I don't like getting involved. You had it open and you were rolling. I feel lucky with you doing it. It was a compliment, so to speak.
Okay.
Nick threw down the bet. I was like, that's a great bet. I asked him how much we would win if we did a parlay. He goes, if it's $10, I go,
it's 200. 10 to win 200.
10 to win 200. Nick's like, all right, it's in. I'm like, cool, I'm in. And then last night I was at Nick's, or two nights ago, because this is Monday. Then two nights ago I was at Nick's, and I was like, dude, I'm stoked for our parlay tomorrow. And he's like, oh, you put it down? I was like, no, I thought you put it down for me. And so he ended up putting it down for me. The line moved to 49, which pushed. But I ended up having better odds anyway. And speaking of the roommate, another callback to him who knows absolutely jack shit about sports.
You.
He joined me and he came in today, totally forgot that we did this parlay. And I reminded him and I think he was invested for a few minutes.
For the five legs.
Yeah.
For half a second.
For half a second.
Half a second.
For a hot minute.
We needed to be a shootout in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Points.
But we'll continue that this coming week. We might even get some college football bets in there. Maybe it's tough right now just because, you know, not every single team is playing.
We were soft on that, and we should have, because we were on the same page on Miami. You and I knew that was going
to
be a waxing.
Yeah, I think college football so far has been such a fucking crapshoot that it's hard to call who's going to be good and who's
for sure.
Not. There's just so much uncertainty going on. With that being said, I was very high in Miami. I think it was a pick'em. So I think they were a little bit disrespected when there was a pick'em against Louisville, who's far less of a good team than they are.
Seeding-wise, they were one rank beneath them,
like
right? 16-17 or 17-18.
Yeah.
That defense, though, that he's got tuned up is good.
Yeah.
And their tight end's great.
He's a good coach.
Yeah.
Texas.
Yeah. I'm happy with it.
We breed them well.
Yeah, we do breed them well down there. Speaking of breeding them, let's get into You Gotta Be Kidding Me.
You gotta be kidding me.
You're kidding me.
You're kidding me.
Are you kidding me?
This guy, are you kidding me?
Kidding me.
But you're kidding me or what?
You've got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me.
You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me.
With that transition, that was pitiful.
What? Well, no, let me get to it. It made sense. The NFL bred a lot of horrific injuries today.
injuries?
That's what I was rolling with.
There were a lot.
It was a tough transition, but it was a tough day in the NFL as well.
Yeah,
so that's the liking right there.
If you didn't watch, if you're not informed, we lost Nick Bosa for the season.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley for the season.
Solomon Thomas.
Garoppolo should be out for 4 to 6 weeks. McCaffrey has an ankle injury. We're not sure how long he's going to be out for. Bruce Irvin went down in the Sunday night game.
Drew Lock
went out with a shoulder injury. He'll be out for a couple of weeks. It's tough. I'm probably missing some guys.
Davante Adams got hurt.
Raheem Mostert
left the game.
I mean, the 49ers just had
depleted
a terrible draw.
Yeah. Kittle got hurt. He was hurt in the week and he was ruled out today. Michael Thomas
dealing with an ankle
we
injury.
We found out the news that it was so bizarre. At the end of the week, it was like he might be playing, and now it's 2 to 4 weeks.
Julio got hurt too. I missed
Julio
that.
Was limping around.
I think it was a tweak. It was a minor thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Godwin was out this week.
Melvin Ingram had a little limp on the sideline.
Yeah. You guys lost one of your defensive backs, didn't you? Either a safety or a corner went out. I can't remember who it was either.
But bottom line is this. Here's my thing. Everyone is so anti these preseason games, and they're so quick to start the season. And kudos to the NFL for getting the whole thing done and really having no hiccups so far.
Week two with no positive tests.
Amazing. But all that being said, now these guys clearly weren't ready. There's too many guys coming up limp in the first 2 weeks, and these are just big names. We're not even focusing on other guys who are also getting hurt.
Also, a conditioning thing too. I mean, I watched the Chargers Chiefs game pretty intently, and I saw Joey Bosa in the fourth quarter. He was gassed.
Completely. He was out of the game. I was like, what's he doing on the sideline?
You don't see that in week eight. You know?
No,
I mean, he's completely conditioned and ready to go.
I mean,
he was on the sideline for like six snaps in the fourth quarter, important snaps too, where he needed to pressure Patrick Mahomes, and he was sitting on the sideline. They couldn't get good pressure on him.
Right. Yeah, and then
good for him for getting his first sack on Mahomes.
Yeah, first career sack on Mahomes in four games.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the preseason. I'll always remember the year that Darrelle Revis held out, missed the preseason, and came back, and pretty much A, he didn't get his money, and B, got hurt right away.
Yep.
And that day, I learned the lesson even if you're only playing a quarter at a time, and yeah, it's risky. Some guys do get hurt there, but you know what? It gets a lot of guys in shape, and it gets a lot of the guys ready to go.
But that's also part of the reason why the guys hold out, right? They want to guarantee their money in case they get hurt. It happened to Earl Thomas a couple years ago, right? His last time with the Seahawks, he held out during the preseason, comes back, tears his ACL, flips off all the
snow as he's going out. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a bag of nuts anyway, to be honest.
I think it's important to note that, like, look, the NFL playing professional football is enough of an injury risk in and of its own right? And then you add on the fact that these guys didn't get the proper amount of prep, and that just
football, short camp. You can't have a short camp. It's like
football is one of those sports where there's so much uncertainty with injuries going forward, and you have to get prepared as possible. And I was actually explaining something to a friend the other day that college football players have insurance some have insurance policies on themselves,
totally,
right?
Yeah.
Where it's like they take out like $100,000 insurance policies that maybe guarantees them like a couple million dollars, right, in case their career ends their senior season, right? And that's a fraction of what they're going to make, right? If they put down that $100,000, it's a fraction of what they're going to make on their contract.
Jalen Smith had it for a mil.
Yeah.
If I could be wrong, you could fact check me on that.
He did have one.
He had one, though.
Willis McGahee had one.
Really? Wow, that was a while ago.
Well, yeah. So this is what I originally remember. When he tore his ACL with Miami, it was a horrific incident, right?
Yeah.
He was like, he's not going to play again. Declined it. Ends up going to the NFL and played.
Wow.
So it worked out for him.
For a good while.
But that's pretty damn ballsy.
Yeah.
Biggest balls.
Low key.
Second to our next guy.
That guy, yeah. That's a good one. Shout out to Willis McGahee. I never thought I'd hear his name on the show, so yeah. I'm pumped we did.
Go Canes.
Go Canes, baby. But yeah, man, it was like the bloodiest day I'd remember in football in a long time. I mean,
sad.
I was bitching the whole day about Saquon. I was up in arms selfishly because he's on my – dude,
he's not on my team, but like those are guys that you want to see play. It's what makes
he's so exciting.
You know?
He's not only as
I
want to
see
face.
Fucking Deion Lewis carry the ball 20 times for the next
and get in the end
15
zone.
Weeks.
Get in the end zone too.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, now it's like, first of all, from a fantasy perspective, I had an abysmal day, and that's what I did. I just really and you were
had
like, and Toss was trying to calm me down most of the day. Not that comforting, but you were trying to.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like. You have no control over.
I know.
Happening.
I listen. If I knew that Anthony Miller banged Matt Nagy's wife, I wouldn't have started him.
Which he didn't do.
I think you don't think he did. He's a good football player, and he's coming out of the game with two targets. He banged Nagy's wife. He did.
No, Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky is his quarterback.
Then he banged Trubisky's girl. He's doing something wrong because he's got all the talent in the world. He had
or at least sent her a dick pic.
Yeah, he did something out of line to warrant this pitiful performance today. And listen, the Devontae Parker, I wouldn't have won anyway.
That Devontae Parker played well. You've called that pretty well.
But here's the deal with that. I left him on the bench, and you did too, because of the Tre'Davious White situation. Because he's drawn, because
he was battling an injury.
And he's battling
an injury. I started him in one of my leagues, and I didn't really have a choice because I have Kenny Galladay is out and A.J. Brown's out.
Kenny Galladay and A.J. Brown
so
this week.
I was really screwed there. I had to start Devontae Parker. Luckily, it worked out for me.
Yeah.
Had a good game.
I think it
bodes well going forward for the rest of the season because if he's healthy.
Yeah. He was questionable heading into the game. Yeah.
Even if there is someone across from him who's talented like Tre'Davious White is, he can still perform.
No, he's a good receiver. He's a really good wide receiver. I took an LS this morning and I – lazy Sunday. And I woke up in my – I woke up in my bed and I flicked my phone on. And I was like, all right.
You did not – wake up in the late afternoon, though.
No.
Well, a lazy Sunday, you wake up in the late afternoon.
Right. Call up Parnell to see what he's doing. Right. Yo, Sandberg, what's up? Great song. Narnia. Biggest dozen. I wake up. I'm like, all right, I'll get to red zone in a hot minute.
Hold on. A lazy Sunday.
Yeah.
You wake up in the late afternoon.
Yeah.
You call your buddy, and then you call Parn, and then you go watch the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't in the fall during football season. There's so many other things that you could be doing with
your
boy.
You think Sandberg gives a shit about football?
I think Sandberg actually is. I think he's a decent sports fan.
Is he?
He made the Maguire Canseco doc.
Yeah.
Mock.
Yeah.
He also did the Seven Days in Hell, right?
Okay.
Touche.
I feel like he definitely likes sports. Hot Rod is an athlete of some sort.
And the Lonely Island has the song, We Like Sports. So.
And they don't care who knows.
Yeah, exactly.
Continue with your lazy Sunday.
My quote-unquote lazy Sunday.
So you woke up, flipped on your phone.
I was like, all right, I'll do the second half of the first quarter on Red Zone in the living room with the squad. But I'll do the first quarter in bed and kind of watch from the ESPN app and just chill a little bit. I was like, I'll chill a little bit.
I set my alarm. I mean, on Sunday, I usually wake up 15 minutes before kickoff. And that kickoff on the West Coast is pretty nice. It's at 10 a.m., right? So I get a little bit of sleeping in. Wake up at 9:45, go pee, brush my teeth, grab a drink, sit on the couch, Red Zone's on. Good to go.
FaceTime Matthew Berry real quick, 5 minutes before. Anyone I should take out?
3 minutes before.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm up before 10, clearly, because I have to make sure my lineups and such are in sync, because anything could happen in that Sunday morning. You can't be waking up at 10:05 on the West Coast. Of our other roommates with, like, George Kittle out, lo and behold.
And guy doesn't play that.
I turned on Red Zone.
Yeah.
I turned on our TV and put Red Zone on. Surprise to all the listeners.
This is a fight.
No. To all the listeners, I'm basically a walking Circuit City, and I put everything together in our living room. I'm dealing with the consoles, the controllers, the screens, whatever. But I put on Red Zone, and as soon as I put it on, Raheem Mostert goes for an 80-yard touchdown. So you never know. Like, you have to really – you got to get there, and you got to be ready to watch or either consume on your phone like you did, Josh, for the first quarter, because things happen quick in the NFL. Oh. And that's what's so exciting about
right.
it.
Right.
I almost didn't get out of bed. This is what happened to me. I almost didn't get out of bed because I flipped on my phone – and the guy I was playing had Kittle, substitute Jonnu Smith, who ripped a 63-yard bomb,
yep.
and then got the touchdown,
yeah.
and then another one. And then he also had Mostert, who, yeah, unfortunately left the game, but he ripped that 80-yard tutty.
He almost had two.
They got called back.
We mentioned it last time because on the deep, it was a pass play where he took a pass like 60-plus yards,
yeah.
broke the record for miles per hour run. Oof. He broke it again.
Wow.
He broke it again, like 23 points.
Jesus,
something.
God. Him and Tyreek Hill.
So fastest
so
recorded
fast.
Player since they started inputting like the stat chips in their – yeah, the stat cast stuff in their helmets.
That's wild.
And I love
technology.
Technology really cool. is amazing.
I want
amazing.
Them to bring technology into baseball a bit more. I need them to be there. There needs to be robotic umpires.
I mean, so needs, there's so many
it.
Things.
I'm so sick of
I can't.
Do you
get
like
into
them
it.
Talking to these players like in the middle of the innings?
It's fun every now and then, but I don't give a fuck. I just want to see a good game.
It's kind of interesting. I feel like some of the guys are like really like chatty Cathys and kind of like giving it back to the announcers. And all of a sudden, you're like in the middle of the inning, and like
yeah.
someone else catches a pop fly, and like that could have come to you. And are you going to talk through? I don't know. It's really interesting.
I mean, these
really
guys are like
they're pros. They do this in their sleep.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean,
they do stuff that I
some of these guys probably
do.
You
got to
be locked
probably
in.
Talk to themselves. I mean, there's Charlie Blackman looks like a psychopath out there. He's definitely singing some Led Zeppelin or something in center field.
I'm 1 degree separation from him. He's apparently a really chill dude.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's still singing Led Zeppelin in center field. Or Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam kind of guy.
Okay,
a little more grunge for sure.
Yeah.
But I do make it out of bed, lo and behold. And the minute I literally get to the couch, I'm on the couch maybe for 5-10 minutes.
You have some toast?
Nope. I didn't get, that was the second quarter. That was halftime of the first games.
Oh, cool.
And Saquon gets hurt. And my year's over now. Like now
it's
I'm
terrible.
Like but it's part of me is like, okay, now I can really focus on the Patriots, which is exciting. But now my other part of me is one of my fantasy leagues is already done. It's over.
I don't think that you're done though. I think you're giving up on yourself.
I'm
fantasy
being realistic.
Seasons are not they're not won in the draft. They
yeah,
never
but
are.
But they're
but
lost.
Josh always does
my
say,
theory
you can't
is
win the first round.
You
can
lose
in the first round.
You can't win in the first round. He was the first pick. I couldn't even get McCaffrey.
What
it's
if
a keeper league?
Okay. What if Deion Lewis and Co. are top 20 RB the rest of the season?
Do I spend my waiver on him? Can I get him on my waiver? I'm not the first waiver. It's like it's a mess.
You got to make a play for him.
I have to, I guess.
Yep.
But do I even trust that Giants offense looks like hot, hot garbage?
Look, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't want to like say woe is me because, you know, Saquon Barkley is not playing for fantasy purposes.
Part of the
it
game.
Sucks because it's his career.
Oh, I'm being
I mean?
Selfish. I know, it's for the guy. I feel worse for the guy than
right.
I do for myself.
I'm always like so pissed off at people. They're like, what the fuck? Like he had to get hurt. He had to like. Come on, like it's out of control.
But you run that risk when they spend their draft capital on a running back like that,
yeah.
right? And then when your two primary pieces are your running back and your quarterback.
The thing is, it really wasn't even that, like, it wasn't a high contact play. Like, he pulled up
well, that's
when
that's
he was
the
going
ACL.
Up. It's an ACL, right? And it's going to happen to him. They gave him the ball so many fucking times. Right?
And they're all, I mean, it's just.
They take the hardest cuts.
Yeah, we say exactly. it all the time. It's not the situation is not his fault. I think actually for the first time in a long time, people in New York get that.
Yeah.
Usually people and I received a text. We were all on the group text.
I think
today like cursing Gettleman and whatever. But you know what? It at the end of the day, people aren't blaming Saquon.
No.
It's like
no,
it's not his
him.
Fault that the Giants
no.
took him at number two ahead of a slew of guys,
right.
quarterbacks, linemen, and linebackers and such.
No.
You
I
know?
Think gone are the days that New Yorkers blame players. Unless it's like a bonehead error or like a mistake.
Yeah, thank God.
Right? Which
honestly.
Like that was shitty when they would blame players for shit.
Yeah. But I do think that like if there's one thing that I've kind of taken from the NFL in recent years is that there are so many talented running backs out there that you really can't slot. I mean, you look at a team like the Jags, right? And James Robinson has stepped in and
he's played nice.
He's played fantastically.
Yeah.
This team is they're competitive. They're definitely not the worst team in football like I thought they were going to be.
No.
That's why
guys like
Zeke and guys like McCaffrey. And
I'm worried about McCaffrey.
I mean, yeah.
They like show his snap percentages, right? And like
they run him into the ground.
It was 91% 1 year, and then the next year was 93%, and then this year it's 97% of snap percentages.
But that's an eighth overall pick. You gotta do that. If you're spending a top 10 pick on a guy, you gotta use him.
Do you want to have him healthy for a full season? Like I mean, as a fantasy owner,
it doesn't matter.
It's awesome to see him play that many times and get that many touches. But like, he's gonna get hurt.
They're
he got hurt today.
Yeah.
We know they're not.
It's volume.
They're not gonna hit his prime. We know that. And it's the same thing with the Giants. The Giants made a mistake taking Saquon. I think they could have obviously gotten Josh Allen or Look, I think the Darnold situation, I'm going to get into him later. I don't think it's his fault. I really don't. But they could have done more, and they could have been more precautious, and they could have been smarter with their draft capital, and they weren't. And now they spent a second overall pick on a running back who's going to be out for the rest of this season. We don't know how he's going to come back. He's heading into a contract year, so you either have to let him walk, or it's his fourth year. They could pick up the fifth year option, which
they
probably
will
do.
They will.
Or you're going to have to pay him. It's
right.
just like a, it's just such a tricky situation.
That organization's in a lot of trouble for a lot of reasons. So
yeah. Well,
but I don't want to harp too long on injuries.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a positive podcast, and I also want to joke too much about it. So
yeah.
We'll move on.
Yeah, we can make light. But let's make
talk
light.
About some balls.
Balls. Okay, let's talk about biggest balls of the week.
Balls of steel.
Biggest balls of the week goes to the brow. Anthony Davis. Setting his feet and hitting that game-winning shot.
Splash City.
Yeah.
Who and showing a lot of grit because he had just gotten scored on, kind of worked by Jokic down low.
11 in a row, by the way. It's kind of a ballsy game by him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jokic hit that little baby hook over him.
Yeah.
And then they go around. You know, they got 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
And great defensive effort by Jamal Murray to block that shot from Danny Green out of bounds. And to have the presence of mind to, like, draw up some semblance of a play with 2 seconds left to get Davis a wide-open shot. Not wide open.
Yeah, I mean,
but
they contested,
open enough.
They contested pretty well.
It was contested.
But they Plumlee doubled on LeBron. Like, that, like, I thought that we all knew that Davis was taking that shot. He was hot.
Well, I knew he was taking the shot.
I knew he should have taken the shot.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen him get the action on the front end when they first had that first possession.
Right.
And of course they're going to give it to LeBron, but sometimes you have to ride the hot hand. And I appreciated what Davis said at the end of the game. He's like, I want to take that shot.
Of course he does.
I want to take that shot. It's kind of the first time we've really heard him say something like that.
Yeah.
He's also in a position where, I mean, he's actually good from three, and he's a good shooter.
Which is so dangerous because he's huge. He's 6'10", 6'11".
I mean, it's the same thing with, like, KP. It's tough to guard, you know? Yeah. All those guys that are hitting from three and Cat.
When Giannis figures out how to shoot three.
He'll get there, and he already is getting there. But I knew AD was taking the shot. He was coming around the pick. They set a pick for him, and he saw him going. Good for him for setting his feet and getting that clean look off.
Caruso had a good look before that, too.
He's been good.
He's been great. Top of the key.
Yeah.
Wide open.
That team, though, I just think the Nuggets.
Poor Nuggets, honestly. Yeah. They battled back.
They're trying. I just don't. They might be a year away from being that team.
They need another big name. They need another superstar.
I guess.
I don't know. Like,
unless Porter Jr. can blossom and become a superstar.
I'm not saying this is going to happen. Possibly. That's very offensively. Yes, it's very possible. I'm not saying this is going to happen. But we were in a situation, and Mike Malone should stay there. They shouldn't do what the Warriors did.
He's a good
did.
Coach.
But we were in a situation where the Warriors lost in the Western Conference Finals, and Steph Curry and Klay took that step, and Draymond, for that matter, took that step and elevated that team to the finals the following year.
It seems like Jamal Murray's made the step.
Yeah.
If he can keep it going,
I mean,
that's a true question.
He's playing like an all-NBA point guard right
now.
He really is.
Yeah? Yeah, 100%.
And Jokic is playing like top 7 player in the world right now.
Would you rather have Jamal
Murray?
There's
no question I'd rather have Jokic than Embiid. Like that question is forever answered.
What about this question? Would you rather, speaking of Embiid's teammate, would you rather have Jamal Murray or Ben Simmons?
I think
on that team, I think Jamal Murray.
For me, I think I have to go Simmons because of his height, because of his defensive capabilities.
Yeah.
His rebounding. He brings so much but it's the type of, it's the pairing, right? Like with Jokic does all that. He creates, he rebounds, he spaces the floor, he sees everyone, and let Murray just kind of be a tactician and a sharpshooter and a pick and roll maestro. And when he gets to the basket, he's a creative finisher. He can finish on anyone. And he's fearless.
Is he the best shooter on the floor? In this series,
Jamal Murray, yeah, he's got to be.
Yeah,
he's limitless.
Yeah,
when he's hot, he is
the best. When the guys are on, he's the best shooter on the floor. So if the best shooter is your point guard, to me, if the guy who has the ball in his hands the most, if he's the best shooter, most times I'm gonna end up going with him. Obviously, there's guys like Jokic, there's guys like AD, there's guys like LeBron, and the big names. I'm not gonna take over Jamal Murray. But at this point, and he's not as good defensively or even close, really, as Simmons is, just because of his
limits.
Simmons
is
defensive player. But Murray is just a laser show when he's hot. And he has put up
stupid numbers.
Every game, every time he needs to be good, he's good.
Yeah.
And like, not even good, great.
This is definitely, it was an interesting game. It was telling, but I just want to see a clean sweep. I've been saying it from the get-go. I mean, don't waste our time, honestly. I don't care.
I want to see good games.
Yeah, no good games, but I just, like, let's get a sweep. Let's just do it.
You want to get it over with? No way, dude. This is like,
I'm ready to get to the finals.
Then we go to the abyss, and then we go no basketball. I want as much basketball
you're
as
ready
possible.
We'll get basketball right back.
You're ready to get to the final. That's interesting. One, I think it's interesting because these games, they've
because
had,
my team is out.
They've had, but they've had less time. They've had less time to recover in every single series. Most of these NBA playoffs, they're getting stretched way, way, way longer than this. So yeah. I appreciate how quickly these players have been able to get back
there. Oh, yeah, for
sure. I definitely think hurt the Nuggets in the first game.
Hurt us.
Because the Lakers had more rest. Yeah, definitely hurt you guys, too.
Listen, there's a reason, and I've been, like, harping on it. Oh, we're bad in this. We've been brutal in the second half against these teams, right? And we go into the lead, we go into the second half with massive leads, and every time we blow them, the first two games at least. And even in the second game, third game, we kind of let them back in a little bit. And why does that all go down? It's because we're gassed. It's because we were running our guys 40-plus minutes throughout the entire Raptor series. We didn't have Hayward, so our depth was stretched. And I don't even know why we have a four-day rest right now, but we do, and I'm so beyond thankful for it.
I think there's something interesting that's distinctive of your team, of the Celtics versus the Nuggets, where the Celtics are normally in the opposite position of the Nuggets at halftime, where they're the team that's normally up 13 or 8 or 10, and then they start to play tentative. They start to not play their style of play. They don't push the pace. They slow down, and they lose that action. They lose that flow, especially since Gordon Hayward hasn't been out there except this last game, and you saw how great he is as a passer. And the Nuggets are playing from behind. They're a bunch of young guys, but they're fearless because they're like,
what do we have to lose?
What do we have to lose?
Yeah, they're just trying to make a statement.
I mean, yeah.
I
don't think that they're going to win this series, but I don't think they're going to get swept.
But they have a guy like Murray that Tatum is
as much as you want them to, Nick.
If the Lakers win the next game, then they're getting swept. That's my theory.
That's your theory. It works really well.
3-0, the team is sweeping.
Yeah. I think
in the bubble, at least. They want to go.
I think, though, the thing with Murray, going back to Jamal Murray, is that, and we don't have this, and as good of an offensive player as Tatum is, and obviously Kemba has still been a step behind for me, but he's been good the past two games. Jalen's been unbelievable. But we don't have a guy that is an absolute bomb from three. And they do. And when you have a guy that's green light like that and can hit from three, and that just takes you back in the game. The Celtics
miss.
You guys
have been shooting really well.
Yeah, I mean.
There's no guy that's a stroke. He's not as consistent.
Marcus Smart has been shooting like 50%.
He's streaky, though.
Yeah, but you and I sit on the couch and we're like, Jesus Christ. There's no one in the world that heat checks themselves like Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I don't like when he shoots three in a row, but if he's hitting.
But he does it all the time.
The thing is, you're trying to say, like, we need a Duncan Robinson, and, like, Duncan Robinson is, like, right now the only Duncan Robinson that I see. He's ridiculous.
Yeah. The other ones were on other teams that got put out already.
I don't see.
They got Crowder was been good. Crowder was great the first two games.
You know, I know he's been great, but like,
Crowder's not a better.
You
shooter
want a
than
guy
Tatum.
Who said who's laser from three, right? An unconscious 3-point shooter, and that's Duncan Robinson. Like, who else is out there that's like him right now?
Murray has been unbelievable.
He's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
for your team, you're never gonna have Jamal Murray.
I know, but I wish I would feel more comfortable if we had a guy that was like the deep ball.
If Kemba can figure it out, he's got potential.
He's always been a better 2-point shooter than he has.
Yeah, his jumper is great. But now having Hayward in there, Hayward is like breaking the zone from the interior. And when we allow Kemba to do that as well, like, yeah, sometimes he gets blocked. He's a smaller guy, but I don't mind Kemba going to the rack. I feel like draw the foul, get, you know, kick it out, do something, have Brown in the corner.
I think the X factor for Miami, I mean, we've been saying this for a while, is Bam. I mean, you really don't have anyone that can compete.
No.
In game two, when he asserted himself in the second half, they dominated.
Shooters
you guys
are
in the
shoot.
Third quarter.
Shooters are going to shoot. Your shooters are going to shoot, too. I mean, Jalen's been shooting well. Jason's been shooting well. Marcus has been shooting well. Gordon's back.
Yeah.
But Bam's going to get his, and we saw last game Tice, you know.
Well, that's the issue. If you break him down from within, then all of a sudden, the exterior guys, Crowder, Duncan Robinson, Harrow, are open.
Right.
And when you have guys like that, it's game over.
Right.
Yeah. Two things. I wanted to see, I will be watching Jimmy Butler tomorrow.
Okay.
No, not tomorrow. Wednesday.
Yeah.
Weird turnaround. What is so weird? But I will be watching Jimmy Butler like a hawk in this next game because he was very tentative in game three. He has a lot of opportunities. I really don't think that you guys, as good defensively as you are, that can stay with him. If he gets a step on you, he's going to draw the foul, and he's such a good finisher in the paint, and he's also a great dish-off guy to Bam, and if Bam's there, he's going to jam it. But I think I saw Jimmy Butler being too tentative and passing too often and not taking the game in his own hands and really like willing them on some possessions where Tatum grabs the ball and is like, I'm the only one that's going to touch the ball this possession. I'm going to get to the basket. If I don't get a shot that I like, I'm getting fouled.
Well, he's got limitations as a shooter, Butler, that Tatum doesn't.
He does, but he's been shooting good. He hasn't been aggressive enough for me.
Every time
and I think
I'm like,
he needs to be.
Yeah, every time I'm like, Jimmy Butler is a top 10 player in the world, he shows me that he's not. Every time like this guy's top 10, he's balling out. And don't get me wrong, he's made some freak defensive plays.
I mean, he's so unbelievable on the defensive side of the ball. It's ridiculous.
But then he like does the thing like you're saying, like kind of like disappears and isn't the guy on offense. And isn't even in the game like kind of late.
I don't think he disappeared. I think there were opportunities where he was still looking for other shooters and they got good looks off of them. But there's sometimes where it's like, I want to look at the box score at the end of the game, and I want to know that you're shooting just as much as Tyler Herro. I want to see that you're shooting just as much as Duncan Robinson.
He gets to the line.
He does, and he shoots very well from the free throw line. The entire team does. It's a good series.
And as good as Herro is,
he's great.
I just keep in mind that he's still a rookie, and it's crazy what he's doing. But to be so reliant and be like, okay,
it's
we
so
have,
relaxed too.
He's amazing.
Plays like a vet.
He's awesome. My issue is then kind of checking yourself to him, though, because he is still a rookie. You can't be still so reliant on him to be that guy sometimes. Even though he has been, which is, again, bonkers for his age and bonkers for where he's at in the NBA, you can't be so reliant, in my opinion. But shout out to AD. I think the Lakers are going to roll them. We were debating last night with some of our friends, what's the situation going to be in the Celtics. I said if it goes to 6, I don't feel confident. If it goes to 7, I'm feeling good. Does that resonate with you?
I don't think that you guys can consistently beat them game in, game out with the depth that they have. I think that they win the series no matter what.
I agree with Sauce.
Okay.
If it's 6 or 7, I think.
Unless they have a coaching breakdown and Spoelstra just forgets how to coach a game, I think he's so good at making adjustments.
Which he won't. He won't forget.
You would think. They've had some of their worst quarters in the playoffs against you guys, and credit your defense because you guys get after it, and you've got a bulldog leading you with Marcus Smart, who's all over the place, flops so much, but he's just, I would love to just go to battle with that guy. If he's on my team, I feel good because I know that he's given it his all. But I think that they'll take you guys, and then I think
which
it'll
sucks
be
sucks because we should have won at least one of the first two games. We blew them both, which sucks.
Who knows though? I mean, that's why they play.
And that was biggest balls
of the week. We'll go to Fab Five right now. Fab Five. Fab Five takeaways in the NFL. We each got one, and then we're going to do for the back two. We're going to do pretender and contender. So an 0-2 team who we think could be a contender and a 2-0 team who we think is a hashtag pretender. But we'll do takeaways,
hashtag
Nick.
Hashtag Foo Fighters pretender.
What if I say I'm not? Dude, David Grohl is like the Harrison Ford of music.
Yeah, man. He was the drummer for Nirvana.
And now lead singer and guitarist of Foo Fighters.
Pretty successful if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, I liken it to Harrison Ford because of Raiders, Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
Oh.
Like the duo.
Yeah, he's gotten both.
Yeah.
Remember when Shia was going to take up the mantle and be the next Indiana Jones?
Crystal Skull.
Yeah
worst,
but he was.
Worst movie that they have in that franchise.
But for he sure. was made for Fast Times at Ridgemont High remake.
He was.
He was destined for that. Nick, you were very stoked about your takeaway, so we'll let you rock it first, man.
I wouldn't say I was very stoked, but I am pleasantly surprised because.
You said it with a smile.
Because it's still a loss. The Chargers lost by 3 points in overtime to the Chiefs. They looked better than people probably expected them to do. They covered their spread. But my takeaway is that the Chargers are better with Justin Herbert playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I told you guys, this is super strange, but before, like I would say 30 minutes, like an hour before the game, I told my roommate, I said, man, I have this eerie feeling that we're going to see Justin Herbert today because Tyrod Taylor is going to get injured. And I had no knowledge of his injury or whatever it was, the chest injury that he had that flared up in pregame. And then, what do you know, turn on the TV, first series, first snap, Justin Herbert. I'm like, what the fuck? And he balled out. He had a rushing touchdown. He had a passing touchdown.
Threw for over
300 yards.
Yeah.
He made a couple rookie mistakes, but I mean, stuff that you can correct very easily. He looked good. He could run. He could sling it. Accuracy was a little worrisome here and there, but some of this guy saved him. He played like he's been there before. And I think you got to keep rolling with him. And I saw a quote from Anthony Lynn that said that if Terod's healthy, he's our starter, which, like, I feel like that's nonsense. You know, you put up a really good fight against arguably the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
You took him to overtime. You almost beat him. Ride the hot hand.
It looked like the guys really liked playing with him, too.
I mean, the receivers got theirs, right? Terod Taylor threw for, like, under 200 yards in the first game.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Herbert's thrown for over 300. And the rush attack was there, too.
Right.
They rushed for over 150 yards.
It's like the keys to success always, right? You look at a team like the Rams, and it's like, why is Jared Goff so successful?
Right.
Why can he be so efficient? Well, because the play action pass is where he makes his money. And if your running backs are getting theirs, Daryl Henderson had a really good game today.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can eat people alive with those weapons on the outside. And it's a similar situation. It was last year, too. I just think Phil, because he wasn't as mobile and because it was so obvious that you guys were going to try and pound it with Melvin Gordon up the middle every single time, the defenses got ahead of y'all.
Yeah.
And I think that's what...
There's a lot of mystery now.
It keeps people in check because he can drop it off the middle to Hunter Henry.
If Herbert figures out how to run a play action, then I think he's going to be really damn good.
He
boofed a couple of them where he like went the wrong way on play action. It's like, rookie mistakes.
Well, he didn't even know he was starting.
Yeah, learn the playbook a little more. Yeah, there was no game prep. He didn't think he was going to start that game.
But
there's one game. There was one drive in that game where it was really impressive. I think it was like a 12 or 13 play drive, right? And it's like those are really veteran drive.
Yeah.
Where you eat the clock, right? And you drive down, and they only got 3 points, but still, I mean, it was a very veteran like drive that I was just really pleasantly surprised with. So, yeah, my takeaway for week two is that the Chargers are better with Justin Herbert as their starting quarterback.
On that first rush, the first touchdown where he got into the end zone, he got popped. And it was like a welcome to the league.
He got popped actually for a first down run. It was like a third down conversion. It was like 32.
Yeah, he got hit hard
on the sideline. But the guy who hit him got knocked out. He like went limp for like 2 seconds
he's
and then got up and didn't know who he was. Justin Herbert's a tank.
He's a big guy.
Well, now
he's skinny, but he's like 6'5".
Well, he's a big boy. The whole thing in the NFL, can you run the RPO now and can you run the PA?
And that's an Oregon offense.
And RPO, he can run it.
Yeah.
He can run it real well because he's a threat. He reminds me of like Josh Allen a little bit. And this is someone that's not a Chargers fan.
Right.
And the biggest issue, and I said to you guys, was when we were sitting and watching the Patriots game, was there's not enough touch on his ball, which will come. He'll get that because Josh Allen's
been slinging it.
Because he's got his touch on his ball now.
Yeah.
Now there's no touch on his ball yet. It's a lot of fastballs. You said it was all just lasers. It's a lot of laser show over there. But
I
think
the guys to catch those, though. That's good.
Yeah. Listen, he was really impressive. I was really happy with what I saw from him. The RPO is huge. And you got to be able to run the play action. You got to be able to run the RPO. And another team that I saw that ran the play action so well last year and they can't run it right now is the Vikings. Not to veer off your point, but it just reminded me because Kirk Cousins is having a tough time.
Right.
And I actually was like, okay, maybe the Vikings could come out on top from this Bills trade. And it's a mistake.
Yeah.
They made a massive mistake because it makes the play action way less threatening. Cause all right, you're not going to run it. Okay. Thielen will guard him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be a rookie Justin Jefferson who had a no camp.
It's you bring up a good point about the RPO. I mean, you look at all the successful teams, and I know Mahomes is Mahomes, but that offense, they run through the RPO a ton, right? You look at Lamar Jackson, that offense does the same thing. It's a little more run happy. You look at the Bills, like you just said. Look at the Patriots now. You look at the Seahawks, who just beat the Patriots, who are probably the second best team in the NFL. I mean, these teams all run RPOs, and like you have to have a guy who's able to do that.
Who's the best team? The
best team's the Chiefs, I still think. Ravens are, I don't know. It's a toss up.
Close, man.
But all those quarterbacks.
Ravens, Seahawks, Chiefs are the top three. There's
all
no
those
question.
Quarterbacks, the crucial element for me is like in that RPO, obviously, the run. When you can get a 3rd and 5 for your team and take it across for that first down,
defense doesn't know what's coming.
It's huge.
Which one's it going to be? Is it quarterback
running? That was my beef. I think, Nick, both of our beefs with that play call at the very end for the Patriots is that it was so obvious that they were going to QB blast it with Cam Newton.
I mean,
but I wanted to see them show something else.
We both wanted to see a play action pass, right? Didn't get it, but the Seahawks knew exactly what was coming. They ran the same play for a touchdown the last drive.
Can't be
too one dimensional here.
I said at the snap, I was like, no. I said I knew it was happening, and I knew it wasn't going to work.
Yeah. And so did Seattle.
And so did Seattle, and exactly, because there was no disguise. And I texted one of our buddies who's a Patriots fan. And I'm like, I don't really love that play call. He's been slinging the rock so well. At least give me some mystery. Let me.
Career high in yards.
Edelman, too?
Yeah, Edelman had a career high
on yards as well. Yeah,
he was great. He was throwing the ball. Listen, he ran the ball amazing, but it's Cam Newton. But he threw the ball, one of the best I've ever seen Cam Newton throw
the ball. Took
care of the ball, too. Josh McDaniels is unbelievable. Give me some disguise. Give me some mystery right there. And I texted our buddy. I'm like, why don't we have anything? Why did we on the couch know what we were going to do? He's like, oh, we got to do it. It's our bread and butter. Like, bread and butter? It's week two. We've had the guy for two games. Yeah. What kind of bread and butter are you eating? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah. You're also, like, 3 yards away, too. I mean, if it was, like, on the one-yard line, maybe a little different.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Like the Dak Prescott situation. Right. Dak punched in three on the ground today.
That was the dumbest game I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, he vultured Zeke.
My
roommate had Zeke on his team. Zeke got one touchdown, though. Dak had three on the 1 yard line.
Could be worse, but yeah, it's brutal.
Or he vultured Andy Dalton, too.
He did.
Andy Dalton came in.
Red Rocket. Okay.
Second takeaway.
My takeaway was this, and I'll kind of piggyback into the Falcons. And I said this going into our sit-down on the show, is they did have two tough games, but there's going to be, and this is about the Falcons, and there's other teams involved in this, I am already on hot seat watch.
Okay.
There are coaches in this that are head coaches right now that have to go. One, Adam Gase.
Easily.
Out. Week 8. He'll be gone by week 8.
Sour cream and onions.
I think Bill O'Brien also needs to take a hike. He may last a little longer because somehow, some way,
he's
the general manager.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
The DeAndre Hopkins trade is going to be one of the worst.
That was like, Nick, because like working at a restaurant, it's like taking the worst server and making them a manager. That's literally what that Texans
did. Which we've seen before.
Shout out
to you.
So like that's what it's like. You know, this guy can't really serve. You know what we should do? We should kind of let him serve and float a little bit, but we'll also make him the manager and give him more responsibility. That's what they've done. And so he'll last a little longer.
Right.
Devil's advocate, their strength of schedule so far is an A++.
But they were in the playoffs last year. They were beating the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs had that crazy comeback. They took a thing that was working, and he kicked it to the curb, and it's now broken.
But it wasn't working, and now it's working even worse. Kind of working, and they were riding on the fact that Deshaun Watson is incredible, and his heroics basically got them single-handedly to the playoffs
last
year.
Trade sucked.
So you got Bill O'Brien, you've got Adam Gase.
You got Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn for sure.
How long are we going to do this?
I understand. I definitely agree with you. But the issue is they're still a good team that I think can contend, and you're taking a step in the wrong direction if you're firing a coach very early. If they're out of contention by like week 8, week 10, yeah, he's gone. See ya.
Dan Quinn.
But he's got a long leash.
Dan Quinn, before this, was a defensive coordinator.
Right. And
they've given back-to-back 40 spots.
That's ironic.
You got a quarterback who is nearing the end of his prime playing unbelievable football. Julio had a
three
bad game today.
Every single game.
Every game like clockwork.
300 yards, three touchdowns.
Gurley looks fine. Yeah. He looks fine.
They've allowed 78 points this season. That's the most in the NFL.
It's crazy.
And they scored 64, which is probably like the top third of the league.
Top
five in the league, actually.
Calvin Ridley's unbelievable. Russell Gage Jr., I have no idea where he came from,
he's
but
great.
He's good too.
LSU.
LSU? Oh, yeah.
Classic. Hayden Hurst scored today too.
Oh, he's good. We knew he was. We had a gut feeling about him as well. The offense is good.
Yeah.
Defense can't stop a nosebleed. The defense can't do anything. And Dan Quinn is blowing it for this football team. And as an Atlanta native, I am sick and tired of Dan Quinn's sorry ass being on the sideline.
Wow, Sandra Bullock has a new stand-in for Blindside 2.
Thanks. That's high praise coming for you, boy.
Leanne Taylor.
No, he's got to go. I don't. What are we doing here? They were up 20. They were up by a billion.
Yeah,
that was also really awesome by the Cowboys.
Oh, it was.
I'm sure you were.
It was an
so
unbelievable pathetic. Comeback. Obviously, the kick at the end, like you know, Greg the Leg is going to knock that in.
Chris Collins was like, "That looks like a putt in the U.S. Open."
At one point, awesome. What did they lose by? They lost by one.
They lost by 1 point.
And at one point in the game,
oh, they missed a field goal.
No, they went for two.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about.
For no reason.
The Cowboys did.
No, the Falcons did.
Well, the Cowboys also went for two.
The Cowboys
didn't
went for,
get it.
And that's what made it
and
everything so
like,
crazy.
What?
Well, because we had that. We had the forward momentum. We were pressing on
but
them.
But they were going.
It felt like we were coming back, and then we were down 9-7.
I have to
seven.
Say, even though the Cowboys won, and we'll get back to your point in just a second, I just have to harp on this. Mike McCarthy made some pretty bad calls today as well.
Fake
punts that were awful.
Yeah.
Going for two when they were down by 15. I think they should have kicked it to keep it a one-score game. They didn't convert the two-point conversion, so now they're down by two scores.
That right there is an analytics thing. That's like straight analytics. The only reason why he did that, and Mike McCarthy was like sitting in a log cabin for a year and was like, oh, people are saying that analytics are important now.
Right.
And now he's like, I gotta do what the analytics tell me.
What about those dumbass fake punts?
The fake punts were, I'm not defending what he did. I'm just saying I think that's why he did it.
And that's the thing. That's 2 weeks in a row where it almost cost him a game.
The fake punt was in our own zone too, and it was not a good play call. It was abysmal.
Well, one of them was a 4th-and-5 direct snap, and it's like, okay, come on.
If I have a suit, and it's a nice suit, and you see me wearing this suit for a couple years, you go, Josh, I always love you in that suit. It's a good suit. Time goes by, grow out of it a little bit. I go, Nick, you want the suit? What are you going to say?
Sure.
You want my old suit? No, you wouldn't take it. Don't be like that. Because my point being...
It's a free suit.
No, you're not taking
the... Is this a fucking Armani suit?
It's like a schlubby suit that I've been wearing for God knows how long. Well, and my point being is...
We also don't have the same size. I'm a lot bigger than you.
Yeah. McCarthy is... He's just... What was the point? I don't like this hire.
It's not going to work.
Well,
he's not on the hot seat.
He's not on the hot seat.
There's one other coach that I don't think that you mentioned that is on the hot seat. Ooh. It's Mike Zimmer.
He's in trouble.
For the Vikings.
They just signed him to an extension, but yeah, he's in trouble.
Well, everyone thinks they're supposed to be incredibly competitive.
The thing is, extensions don't mean shit if you don't win.
Hey, Jeff Fisher did get an extension that one time.
And got fired.
And got fired the next year.
Now he's doing commercials.
What are we talking? Hey, good for this. Making money. I wish I was doing commercials. The Doug Peterson. What are we? He's good.
You.
He won a Super Bowl.
Look,
I don't know.
I'm a Cowboys fan, and you're a bigger Philly hater than I am, which is hilarious.
Because
they beat you guys.
Because they're not
they
good.
They
Miles
blow.
Sanders is great.
Great.
But they got no weapons to throw to.
They've got no weapons to throw to. I disagree completely.
To defend
Josh here, I think Carson Wentz missed a lot of throws today.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
I think he missed a lot of errant passes.
Poop.
He's pedestrian.
Do you think Dallas Goedert, Zach
It's good.
Ertz,
it's
I like,
good.
I like their tight ends. I don't really like Zach Ertz, but he's a service.
If that's your
end.
1-2 tight end punch, it's pretty nice.
DeShaun Jackson's old.
I mean,
Greg Ward Jr. is a former college quarterback.
DeShaun Jackson is old. He's made some mistakes off the field.
Sure.
He still gets open like nobody's business.
I don't mind DeShaun Jackson. He's got it still. I think Jalen Reagor is, a rookie, but I think he's good. I think both tight ends are good. You've mentioned the running back who's good. Offensive line's a little banged up. I'll give him that. If the offensive line is so banged up, why is every other play a goddamn screen? Tight end screen, running back screen, wide receiver screen. Well, enough with the screens, Doug Peterson. It's every play with this guy.
I wanted to see Jalen Hurts today. He came in for a couple of snaps, but just was a decoy. I don't know what that was.
That was the most bizarre thing of all time.
Did it?
Yeah, Sanders scored on that play.
Let's go, Jalen.
All right. I don't know. Yeah, but mix it in. Make things exciting.
That's your takeaway.
But he's not on the hot seat like those other three.
What's your takeaway, Toss?
Wait, who are the three,
though?
Oh,
wow. You know who else is on the hot seat? By the way, I didn't mention this, but I'm going to throw him out and then I'll move to you. Patricia.
I was going to mention another team with higher expectations. We all really like the Lions. I feel like we definitely like Matt Stafford, and they're totally blowing.
Defensive coach letting up a lot of points yet again.
Yeah.
So your three are, well, I guess four.
Four now.
And then my five.
Zimmer.
Yeah, so it's Gase, Quinn, Bill O'Brien, Patricia, and then mine is Zimmer.
Gase is gone in a fortnight.
Yeah.
My takeaway is that my mind has been changed. I'm really excited about the MVP race this year. I'm like really invested in it. And one, Russell Wilson has jumped out to the hottest start of all hot starts.
He's sick. I'm want to start a campaign. Russ for MVP.
He's 9 touchdowns, 1 interception through the first 2 games, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now in the same division, there's another guy named Kyler Murray who has also jumped out to a 2-0 start. And before the season, there were a lot of people in the media saying Kyler Murray is my dark horse MVP candidate. And I looked at those posts, I looked at those videos, and scoffed at them.
Yeah.
And now
he scoffed at them.
He's matured.
I'm kind of like, I might be wrong.
What he does is like with his legs, it's just insane. Ridiculous.
So tough. It's like Lamar.
It's like Lamar.
He's quicker.
I think he's shiftier than Lamar. Lamar's faster, like downhill speed.
But it's a lower center of gravity kind of thing.
Yeah, he's like a little running back, man.
Lamar Jackson did this. He didn't even throw a complete. He did this move today And I didn't think that was possible. I physically did not think you could. He like hit a stop and go and like did like a shimmy shake and then like just cranked that so Soulja Boy and like flicked it.
So swag. Yeah. You ever see that video of him playing in high school?
You were saying on that play, you were like, oh my gosh. And it ended up in an incompletion. Like,
exactly. The result of the play was nothing.
You ever seen the highlight of him in high school when he's like running? It's like an angle from like the corner of the end zone, right? And he's running, and it's like the Vince Young run, right? Where he's coming into like the edge by the pylon, and this guy completely whiffs on him because he just stops on a dime and stands straight up and then walks into the end zone. Mm. It's the swaggiest highlight.
Oh, I've seen that. It's unbelievable.
Okay. You want to make a game from your, because the MVP race is interesting, and we're kind of early in the season.
Okay.
We'll each give our MVP pick. Whoever wins, if you do win, gets the infamous thing we've been betting sometimes, the t-shirt jersey. The other two buy it. In on that?
For that MVP.
For that MVP.
Okay, so you want Kyler?
I don't want Kyler.
Oh, okay.
Your segment, you get first pick.
I'm going to pick... I want to pick Russell Wilson, but I think something's going to happen. And clearly it's a sign. If no one's ever voted for this guy to win MVP, unless it's like a Leo and Revenant in the Oscar kind of situation where they just give it to him because he's due, which he is. He is due. I think it's going to be another guy who's won it before.
Okay.
And... He's a gruff. Yeah, I think Rodgers is going to win.
Okay. I'm taking Wilson. I have to take Russ Wilson.
Okay. Very interesting.
Sorry that you have third pick.
No. It's fine.
You have more than us.
I do a lot of t-shirt jerseys, and I'm cool with it. I'm comfortable with it. And the team that
Shit,
I'm,
am I locked into a Rodgers t-shirt now if I win?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was.
Our buddy Jake's going to get a gift.
Yeah, exactly. You could have gone with Dak, honestly.
I thought about it.
I'm thinking about it, too. And
I don't think we're good enough.
I think that I can't. I don't want to take. Cause I don't want this fucking t-shirt jersey. Maybe we could trade around.
Are you just looking online right now?
No.
The swaggest t-shirt jerseys?
No, I know.
Hurry up! Clock's ticking.
I'm going with the best team. The team I think is the best team in the league, and I think they're gonna win the Super Bowl. I'm changing my mind. Lamar.
Okay, so back to back.
Yeah,
our boy Jack Settleman, the baby goat. You can give him a gift.
Yeah,
not that he doesn't already have that.
The new co-host of Believe in Ravens.
Yeah, shout out to the homie. Okay, so here's the game we'll play. We
love another show on the Believe podcast.
Yeah.
That show has Kamari again, the kid Gowie, who's a great influencer, and Jack Settleman.
So I went Rodgers,
Wilson,
Nick went Russell Wilson, and Josh went Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Was there anyone else you wanted to shout out for the MVP? I want to shout out my boy Cam Newton.
I said him. Did I not? I mentioned him last week.
You said that, and
I said I wouldn't be surprised if Cam Newton was in the MVP race. And once again, he ran for 2 touchdowns on the ground.
Whoa, he's playing great.
He's playing very, very well. And what did I tell you today? You were like, oh, unfortunately, James White did not play because of personal reasons. A tragedy occurred in his family, which our sympathies to his family. It's really, really severe. But we had to pick up Sony Michel in our fantasy league to account for that, and unbeknownst to me, I was like, I don't even care who we pick up because it doesn't matter because Cam Newton is going to rush for the most yards on that team at the end of this year. He's going to rush for the most touchdowns. He's the best running back on that team. He's the best quarterback on that team as well, obviously.
He's the guy.
I have a quick dark horse. Call me crazy, but Gardner Minshew.
Okay.
I think if he keeps playing the way he's playing, which he's playing like with balls of steel.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks fearless out there. He's electric. He's making plays. He's turning shitty plays into good plays. He's pretty accurate too.
Yeah.
I mean, if they win some ball games this year and sneak into the playoffs,
1-1,
he could be a top 5 MVP candidate.
If he wins the MVP, I'll remove my lower rib and blow myself.
Okay. That's really graphic.
Sorry.
I won't do that.
Josh's Manson segment of the week.
Can I just like buy you like nope. Someone to blow you so you don't do that?
Nick, that's illegal.
Not in Las Vegas.
Really?
Well,
viva. Okay.
Bunny Ranch, baby.
My dark horse is Big Ben, and I guess that'll transition us to the two pretenders, contenders. So the 2-0 teams are thus Bills, Ravens, Steelers, Titans, Chiefs, Packers, Bears,
welcome to
Cardinals,
the NFC
Rams,
West.
Seahawks. Jesus
and
Christ.
And we can have the same pretenders and contenders, right?
For sure. Okay. So, Nick, who's your pretender?
The Chicago Bears.
Oh, okay. So I think that's a pretender for everybody.
I think it's got to be.
Absolutely.
Okay, who's the second pretender then? Just to get a little sexy.
I don't
sexy.
Know if there's a second pretender. I mean, I think that everyone that is 2-0 is pretty damn legit.
I think there's a team that's not in that league.
You think the Titans are not in that league?
Yeah, I think they're not in that league.
I agree.
I would say they're the next pretender.
I don't think they're necessarily a pretender.
But that's your favorite to win the division this year.
It's the not division a great division.
Blows nuts.
But that's still a contender. They're making the playoffs, winning their division.
I'm saying contender comparatively to the other 2-0 teams.
I mean, these guys made it to the AFC Championship last year.
I think that I would be shocked if Lightning struck twice.
Yeah, no, I'd be shocked too. They're not that exciting of a team. They played a really close game against the Broncos. 0-2 team. So I contender, guess let's go to contenders. So the 0-2 teams are the Carolina Jets. Panthers, the Atlanta Falcons, the Minnesota Vikings, Detroit Lions, Philly Eagles, New York Giants, Cincinnati Bengals, Denver Broncos, Houston Texans, New York Jets, and Miami Dolphins. There's a lot more. I really don't think there's that many. I would say maybe two. My first thought is the Dolphins, actually, which is kind of wild, but they look like they've been playing some good ball. I mean,
that's kind of that's a little crazy.
Their
to me.
Defense is not that bad, and they've been in these games.
They got gushed today.
They were in it throughout the.
They were
of the
in
game.
It.
It's Dude, a clear. It's a clear a three. It's a clear three-tier division, though. And the Bills and the Patriots are at the top in that first tier.
Right.
The Dolphins are in that second, and the Jets are in that third tier. And I think for that reason, they're not a contender for me. But I do enjoy watching them play football.
I think they're fun.
Yeah.
I think they could be good eventually. I really, at this point, after watching Herbert and Burrow, now I just want to see fucking
Tua play.
Yeah,
of course you do.
Who's your contender?
I mean, I agree with Nick. Like, again, like I like the Dolphins. I like the Bengals. They're fun to watch too, right? I don't think they're a contender. The Broncos,
say, yeah,
I think.
I want to say the Broncos, but like.
It depends on how long
Rock.
Locks
we'll
out.
See. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can rely on Jeff Driscoll to make it happen in that division, of course, because it looks like Chiefs are great, but it looks like the Chargers are ain't no slouch either. You know what I mean?
And not only is lockout, but currently Philip Lindsay is out as well, which that hurts too.
Exactly.
I mean, that's they're what was so appealing to them to
Von
me.
Von Miller's down.
Right. Von Miller obviously down. What was so appealing to me coming into the season for them was that they had a myriad of weapons for Drew Lock at his disposal. I mean, he had a
myriad of weapons.
You like that? he had
you
Sutton.
Love your big words.
He had Sutton.
That's a good word.
Font caught another touchdown today.
He's
Judy's been playing well. If you have Lindsay and Gordon, I like both of them together. Like this is a team that had a lot of weapons on the offensive side, and then, you know, it's a depleted defense. But it's a bummer. It's a bummer because I think that they had a shot to be competitive, and I don't know if they necessarily do now. The Texans, as much as we shit talked Bill O'Brien, they're gonna like beat some team at some point and like be.
They're gonna win some games.
Be like sneaky good and compete in that division because that's how they
Seven
always are.
7-9.
Do we think that? Like we talked some shit.
I think
the Vikings
Falcons,
and the Lions. Do you think that they could turn it around?
The Vikings schedule is brutal. Vikings schedule is tough coming up. The Falcons, I think, are the only contender. But again, can't stop a nosebleed. And they have the Bears next week at home, so they should win that game. Conceivably, I'd like to think.
Right.
But the Bears could be getting hot and feeling themselves.
I don't know.
And then they play at Lambeau, so whatever.
I think in the next three games, that NFC North division shakes down a lot differently outside of the Packers.
I
want to ask you guys a quick question.
Sure.
It's more of just a pick who you think it is.
Mm.
Which team in the NFL do you think has the lowest point differential? Not lowest, the biggest point differential negatively.
I'm already looking at it, so I'll toss. We'll go to you. Sorry.
The Panthers.
The Texans. -31.
They suck. They're not good.
Next is the Jets.
The Jets.
So they're in the same realm as the Jets right now.
What are the Jets?
-28.
If you're the Jets.
The Eagles are -28 as well.
Do you I'll say who's the worst team in the league? Is it the Jets?
It's the Jets.
Yes. Yes.
Do they take Trevor Lawrence? Or do they trade it?
I don't know. That's the thing is, I don't know if it was you. I was talking to someone about it. You have the number one pick. Are you trading it or are you keeping it? There was a question about Baker, right? It was like, if the Browns have
the exact
number
same,
one pick.
It's the exact same situation.
Right? Do they take Trevor Lawrence or do they trade the pick? Right, and it's like, are you really ready to give up on your number one pick already? And like, well, if you guys are picking number one overall, then it's because he sucked.
It's not Darnold's fault though. That offense is abysmal.
I agree. I think you got to see it out with Darnold. I think you can get a king's ransom for the number one pick.
King's
ransom. If you want to be able to sell it. There's definitely some teams that will give up a lot.
Well, also if the Jets end up as the worst team in the NFL, Gase is gone.
Peace.
Right, so you've got a new guy coming in who you can now work with Darnold.
But you
which
also
that's
have that situation with like Cliff Kingsbury coming in, right, where he's like, you know what, I'm trading Josh Rosen. I want Kyler Murray. I'm a brand new
Darnold's
coach.
A better player. Dude, it's like it's,
I know. I agree with you, but you never know. A new coach is going to be like, no, I have such a boner for Trevor Lawrence.
Maybe they get
hair.
Something for
it.
Darnold. Maybe they
but
get
at this
something
point,
for
what
Darnold.
What can you get?
I don't even, dude, I... It's not the kid's fault. Their offensive line is talented. He's talented. They're running back today.
But I do think you're a bigger believer than most people who are not Jets fans.
At what point? How long does it take for us to get into the season? How many more games do the Jets have to lose before people start bringing up the ghosts? At what point does that happen? Ghosts. When the ghosts come back.
I forgot about that.
His best receivers was Chris Hogan and Braxton Berrios.
Rashad Perryman was his best receiver. He got hurt.
And Le'Veon. It was Quincy Enunwa and it was Robbie Anderson.
Took a hike to a Carolina team.
He's never had legit receivers.
Chris Herndon, how long can he stay there for?
Didn't have a good game anyway.
Le'Veon's hurt. That's
their running back today was Frank Gore. That's number one.
I love Frank Gore.
I love him, but come on. At what point?
Frankie G.
All right. Great show. Good fun. We'll close it out there with some sweet NFL talk. We'll get back into baseball next time.
Baseball, huh?
Yeah. Dude, I love baseball.
I love baseball, too.
I know. We'll talk about emotional. It. Nick, you guys are going to the playoffs. Congrats,
First
man.
First time in 14 years.
Good for you. I'm happy
last
for you.
Last time I went to the playoffs, I was 11 years old. Isn't that crazy?
I'd hang myself.
That's pretty crazy.
That's horrible. It's a terrible experience.
I mean, look, Padre fans, there's not a ton of us, but we're one of the most loyal fan bases there is.
Yeah, I guess.
That city, losing the Chargers, was, such a gut punch to that city. Having a team like the Padres that have come in, that's excited about their fans, that's excited about being around each other, playing around each other. You know, a rebrand of the Brown, exciting young players like Tatis and Manny Machado and even Cronenworth, who's probably going to win the Rookie of the Year. And we've got ace pitchers. It just brings so much light and joy to that city that's been, just begging for a good team.
I didn't You guys have only had 15 winning seasons in franchise history.
15 winning seasons, only 4 postseasons. We've never had a no-hitter. We're the only team in Major League Baseball to have a no-hitter. We were the last team in Major League Baseball to hit for the cycle. Chargers never won never won a Super Bowl. San Diego State hasn't done shit. The Padres have been to
50 years, Clippers, the drought.
Padres have been to the World Series twice, lost to the Tigers in 84 and lost to the Yankees in 98. So, I mean,
I hope you guys.
I don't think it's going to be this year, to be completely honest. I don't think
Tatis
we're going to
win this
year.
Tatis has been bad lately.
He's slumping. We need to turn it back on.
Machado's been sick.
But look, a winning season. That's in the right direction. You're making the playoffs. That's in the right direction.
I've been saying this from day one that this is going to be a stepping stone this season to next season where we're going to be true contenders. I mean, we're a contender right now. We're good. We're the second best team in the NL behind the Dodgers.
And unlike your other team, your basketball counterpart, the Clippers, they're not necessarily a team that's built to last, right? Right. And this is a team that you're building for the foreseeable future, not for win now mode. Exactly. So I think that bodes well.
I mean, this team is going to be intact for the next 4 years.
Which is huge.
Which is awesome. Yeah. And those guys are only going to get older, more mature, better. They're going to gel together, mold together. They're going to be able to hang out more, become friends, become family. I mean, that goes a long way, though.
When you see
guys in the dugout, they're having a great time, they're laughing, they're dancing. That's always fun to watch, but it's also fun for them to play. Smiles on their face.
No, it matters.
And that, it's contagious to bring the joy to baseball.
Hashtag vibes matter, for
vibes
sure.
Vibes for
baseball.
Sure matter.
Cross-sport vibe check.
Okay.
Celtics locker room. Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum all played together in the FIBA World Championships this past summer. You best believe that has made some sort of impact in the locker room.
Yeah, for
currently.
Sure.
Vibe check.
Even though they said after game two there was some words said in the locker room.
Yeah,
I don't know if I buy into
that. I buy in that Marcus Smart was frustrated and he wants them to win.
People are passionate. Of course, people are
pissed
off.
How many times do we fucking jarb?
I don't think that
the three of us and we do that. It happens.
No, I think there are times where there are locker rooms where there's negative talk towards each other, and that's happened before. I mean, I think that happened. It was played out of proportion.
Right.
With KD and Draymond. I don't think that's the case here. I think these guys.
Yeah, that's different. The KD Draymond thing was toxic.
There's a difference between
being each other.
There's a difference between being pissy and aggressive and catty,
right,
versus hey Nick, hey Toss, or hey Josh. And talking to me because we have that level of comfortability.
We
got to
do this better. Right. And also, even if that is happening, on the counterpoint of that, Shaq and Kobe won 2 championships together. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, maybe LeBron will bring one back to LA, which is looking very nice right now.
It is.
Cool. Fans out there, drag both feet in bounds. Swing on a full count. Rip that puck. Get that putt. Hit your PKs because they free. Congrats to you making the playoffs and the Padres. Congrats to you on the Stars going up 1-0 in the Stanley Cup.
Hey, and congrats to all of our fans that took our picks this week.
Yeah. So way far, go. So good.
Go. Stick with us.
And hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We out you. We love you.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
John Cena.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.